Welcome into the Nebraska Athletic Directors Show here with Troy Dannon tonight. A lot to talk about, and certainly we'll get to it here over the next hour. Kyle Crooks with you as well. We'll talk a lot of flag football coming up in our second segment with Troy Vincent Sr., NFL's Executive VP of Football Operations, with the Huskers adding another varsity sport in women's flag football. And with that, Troy Dannon, you were at the College Football National Championship game, correct, in Miami?
So yeah, other duties as assigned with being on the playoff selection committee. It's 4 days in Miami, so interesting week. A lot going on in college athletics, college football. A lot of discussion, from calendar to transfer portal to everything else, and all those people are all together in Miami. So there was a lot of little corner discussions about what the future is, let alone a really good weekend for the Big Ten. To have three consecutive champions out of the league, three different schools, and just the Indiana story. It was a great weekend for the league.
It's such a great story in sports with what Indiana has done in just a couple of years with Kurt Cignetti, and everyone's trying to find that formula. How do we become the next Indiana, right? It's just something that you can't necessarily, it's hard to calculate or put a formula to it, what Indiana's done.
Yeah, and that's every AD in the country's been hearing it. Well, if them, then why not us? If them, then why not us? And and I think there's a lot of perfect storms. The consistency and continuity of his coaching staff, the fact that they all came from James Madison, and I think his first one, the strength coach, left after the game, but they've all remained together, and that's really, really important. It's something Matt and I've talked about. He's made coaching changes, but we need to get to a point where we've got the right people. And with Matt not being in the college game when he came in, right, it was a little bit more of a startup, but I think everybody's trying to find that recipe. The thing that's impressive about Indiana, though, is just the discipline. I read they hadn't fumbled since the first game of the season. And if you watch them play, they're very rarely out of position, and it's not a matter of they're out athleticing everybody. They're just game discipline, position discipline. In addition to being great athletes, and obviously Heisman Trophy winner, but they are what every program aspires to do, just have the best players in the field, but have the discipline to be in the right place at the right time. They don't miss tackles. They don't turn the ball over. All those things that you say are your goals when the season starts.
And let's go here for Nebraska football and the transfer portal. That wraps up, and boy, that's a whirlwind. I can only imagine what the coaches and Pat Stewart and his whole crew have to go through during those few weeks. How do you feel like Nebraska situated themselves with who they added to their roster?
You never know. I think – if you look at men's basketball as the greatest example, last year did all of the NIL signees, did those new players, return in the way you would have hoped, some but not all. This year, maybe you have a different answer, maybe all, not some, but all. So until you start playing games, you don't really know. I will tell you, I had a chance to meet the quarterback and his family when they were on their visit, and he has a presence about him, to be sure. When I was at the meetings in Miami this weekend, the folks on my committee that evaluated, the committee's split into leagues, and the folks that evaluated the Mountain West Conference took the time to come up and said the quarterback was the most impressive player we saw. Yeah, they loved everything they saw, and they watched every game, and a lot of just as I did with my leagues. So I think people really like the quarterback. Time will tell. I think for what their targets were and what they felt the needs were, and it's not just a one-time thing. It's how the players developing in the roster. Who else do you have on your roster to move into some of those spots? And where are you at with your 27 class and 28 class? So all these things interconnect. But I think they felt good. But until we start playing games, you'll never really know.
From an AD's perspective, you read the stories of a Damon Williams at Washington and Darian Mensah at Duke, who sign NIL deals and then still end up in the portal. And then now the athletic department is suing the quarterback. And just your thoughts on where we're at right now as a, a, a college football group where how do we find some solutions to some of these things?
So how many segments do we have? So let's step back. You know, the world in which we are living right now is intolerable. The only way we get to a place where the world is tolerable is some type of antitrust protection so we can put rules in place and govern. And there's two ways to get that. One is through Congress, and that's we all hear about the SCORE Act. And I don't think the SCORE Act is dead, but it has not gone anywhere yet. And all the governing bodies have been trying for a while to get some type of antitrust protection from Congress. The other way you get it is through collective negotiation, representation, bargaining. There's different ways to get it. And is that a path? And then I read last week, yet another way maybe to remove the antitrust issues is that conference govern themselves, because at that point, conferences do not set markets. And so the Big Ten, in theory, could have a set of rules which it would not be subject to litigation on antitrust due to antitrust violations, because the Big Ten itself does not set the market. We have to get to a place where we have the ability to govern. We don't have the ability to govern right now. I can be really critical of the settlement. The settlement, probably in hindsight, certainly I won't speak for my peers, but for myself, I would not have raised my hand for supporting the settlement had we known what the forward-looking conditions were actually going to be like. We thought the settlement was providing some limited antitrust protection on an injunctive basis, and it really hasn't done that. So we have a chaotic world. Everyone's trying to navigate through it as best we can. I think we're navigating as successfully as possible at Nebraska. But, you know, to your point, you know, the situation in our league at Washington, which resolved itself maybe cleanly, at least externally. And then, you know, the question with Mensah at Duke, and I speak, Mensah was at Tulane when I was there. He's recruited, redshirted my last year at Tulane, and you know, left for Duke for a big number. And now, you know, we do allow coaches to do the very same thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, it seems as if that's a natural part of the game and that this is distasteful, you know, but timing is a challenge. You know, portal dates closing, when is the portal? You know, we have a calendar that was built on a set of environmental circumstances that existed before you could ever transfer. Almost going all the way back to when freshmen weren't even eligible is the foundation of our calendar. A lot of those things have to change, but fundamentally, until there's some type of an antitrust protection that allows us to govern, that allows us to actually take these things that are happening, where they're pretty obvious rule violations. Some of the things we've seen from NIL contracts or whether they are indeed NIL contracts, they're pretty obviously violations of the rules that nothing seems to be happening. Until we get the ability to govern, it feels like we're in this Groundhog Day.
We have a minute left in this segment, but it's probably not fair to ask you this. Do we feel like there's a collaboration with all the Power Four leagues to find a solution here?
I think there's a little bit of provincialness that happens. I think if the Big Ten says, I want to do this, everybody says, well, you know, the Big Ten, if you want to do this, then it must be bad for us. And same thing with the SEC. Mm-hmm. And if the Big 12 wants this, well, it must be bringing everybody down to there's lots of that mentality. I think finding the path to get this done, I think everybody agrees with that solution needs to be, but finding the path, what is the route to get it done? You know, the four power commissioners who I know really, really well, in fact, I know all the commissioners from my other responsibilities along the way, really good people, vested strong interests in getting some resolution. We all have to, as institutions, get rid of the provincialness. And never forget this, there's one way to get rid of all antitrust, and that is you don't put any rules or any regulations, any caps, any on anything. You know, started to hear a little bit about some institution saying the cap is too small. The cap instead of 22.5% needs to be whatever percent. or it needs to just go away entirely. Well, that will take care of the problem as well. But in, you know, I think at its core, one, we have to stay, you know, and people will laugh at it, we do have to stay true to the academic mission of institutions. Otherwise, why are we doing this inside of institutions of higher ed? And secondly, we can't govern and legislate a level playing field, but we are all competing for the same championship, and we all have to have a general set of rules and guidelines that we're living by, from academic eligibility to everything else. Right now, the only thing the rules are the same really is when the football kicks off. Mm-hmm. And we need some type of commonality in an environment that we're all living in.
Yeah, fascinating stuff for sure. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealers, applying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres, solutions for every field. We mentioned flag football, newest varsity sport here for the Huskers. Troy Vincent Sr., part of the NFL Executive VP of Football Ops, will join myself and Troy Dannon next. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Welcome back to the Nebraska AD Show with Troy Dannon. We are now joined by Troy Vincent Sr., the NFL's Executive VP of Football Operations. Big reason why. We could have a lot of things to touch on, but certainly flag football being announced here as a varsity sport beginning in the spring of 2028 here at the University of Nebraska. So big news there. We'll dive into that. The NFL's influence on the growth of this sport as well. So we welcome in Troy Vincent Sr. Troy, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good, and thanks for having me. I hope you all are warm because it is freezing up north.
Yeah, it's
freezing.
Hopefully you don't have the wind that we have here in Nebraska. It's certainly cold this morning, but let's start here because the big announcement, it was announced by Nebraska this past Friday that women's flag football will be the newest varsity sport here on campus. I know you guys have done such an incredible job from the league standpoint in building awareness of the sport, especially at the youth level. It's a growing sport at the high school level as well. Just what's the impact of now having a major Power Four school step in and say, hey, we want flag football to be a varsity sport?
Tremendous. And when the announcement came out last week as flag being an emerging sport at Division I, Division II, and Division III, who is going to be the leader? Who is going to set an example? And Nebraska has, through the years, frankly, during my time when I was a student athlete and beyond, Nebraska has always been, in particular, and I think this is important to note, when you think about females and elite women as student athletes, when you look at the institution today, it is a model for what young ladies can be and what they can aspire to be. When you look at the success that you've had in multiple sports that are led by women. So to see Nebraska be the first, and I would say, like, you know, Troy's a pioneer. This is a pioneer. Someone had to, where in this current environment, people are reducing, institutions are reducing sports. Troy, under his leadership, Nebraska's leadership, they're adding additional sports, and that's groundbreaking. And when you have an institution and a brand like Nebraska, this national, frankly, global brand, this is also part of, you know, we assist in the elevation of growing the sport. But when you have institutions and leaders like Troy elevating it, it validates it, and actually it opens the door for others to say, why aren't we doing it? Or when are we going to start?
Yeah, and women in sports, but women in football specifically, this is an entryway to allow them to compete in a sport that so many women around this country love. And I think I watched last night a TED Talk that you had on this specifically about giving opportunities, and Troy and his administration here with Nebraska and the importance of having a Power Four school give more opportunities for women in football. But opportunity, that's what's probably one of the most important things here for women in sports and women in football.
Access and opportunity. And I had that opportunity to share on that TED stage. It was personal to me. because our oldest child, our daughter Desiree, she didn't have the opportunity that her brothers had to participate. She loved the sport. She was skillful. But as she got older, Desiree didn't lose interest. Young ladies, young girls don't lose interest. They lose access. They lose opportunity. And we're at a time, hey, it's 2026. What are we talking about? Young women or young girls or women don't have the opportunity to have the same opportunity as young boys, as young student athletes that are young boys or young males. And this is just a wonderful opportunity. I've always thought about how can I give back to the sport that has given so much to myself individually and my family. And for the first time, I'm part of something bigger and greater than myself. And I just feel like I'm part of a team now along with Nebraska and Troy and his leadership, being part of something that's just greater than ourselves. And we just think about, hey, most think that only young boys or young those access and opportunity were only provided to young boys through our time. You know, football has been a male-dominated sport, and the young girls have always wanted to play, just didn't have the access or the opportunity. We now, in a path, youth, high school, collegiate, we're kicking off a pro flag league. It's in the Olympics. So like this aspirational arc, it's now available.
And bring in Troy Dannon as well, too. And Troy, how did this, you know, the talk start pretty early on with flag football? What was the collaboration with Troy Vincent Sr. and the NFL?
Well, let's go back to, you know, Nebraska has needed to expand its female participation opportunities. Just we've done a good job historically, and I think Nebraska has been a leader on the women's side. But if you look at how we're from a Title IX standpoint measured, you know, you either reduce male opportunities or enhance female opportunities. So in at Nebraska, the question is not to reduce, but it is to expand. And there are a lot of sports out there. And you go back, Troy, it's been several years, but I was chair of the NCAA's Football Competition Committee. And as part of that, you get to sit in the room of the NFL Competition Committee and discuss common issues. And Troy Vincent's leading that. And at the time, you know, flag football was on their radar screen. And as you look at it, one, the football mantra here, the care for the sport of football. But when you add the shield, the fact that the NFL is behind it, you know, I wasn't interested in a sport maybe that, hey, we could be a little one-off and do something cute here in the Midwest. The NFL being behind this is going to provide a conduit for everyone. You know, football, the growth of football is important. Long-term, the interests of football, taking half of our population and, as Troy said, eliminating opportunities to play and thus maybe disengage from the sport is not in the interests of the sport of football. So it kind of became a natural. I don't know, Troy, it was maybe 6-7 months ago I reached out and said, hey, you know, we're thinking about this. Let's talk about how we can work together and collaborate. You know, this isn't a matter of the NFL funding this or this, but understanding, you know, their teams have structures and trying to promote flag football within the markets of the NFL franchises. And the expertise and the work that Troy and his staff have done over the years to tell us what we needed to do. How do we need to organize this? What's the right way to do it? So we relied heavily on the NFL. And you know, I think we're both important to one another. I think it is important that a Power Four school took the initiative to dive in. And I was at the CFP championship game over the weekend, and I had 4 or 5 ADs reach out to me. I talked to other football people, all wanted to talk about this, because this is the next wave of football. The Olympic Games in 28 are really important, but I think this caught everyone's attention.
And Troy, too, I wanted to ask you, because just reading up on you know, flag football and the NFL's relationship with the sport, you mentioned the pro league that's backed by the NFL and the owner's support of the growth of flag football. The players' interest in potentially playing in the Olympics, right, in 2028 with flag footballs out there. It seems like the players and the owners are all in on flag football and its future.
Absolutely. I think about my days coming out of Madison, Wisconsin in 1992 in the Dream Team. It wasn't an option for me. It wasn't an option for, at that time, the Dan Marinos, the John Elways. It just wasn't available to the Jerry Rices. It wasn't a global sport. It wasn't an Olympic sport. And when you look, you know, where we are today, we have a chance to truly become a competing global sport. Today, we're not that. You come out of the States, outside of Mexico and Canada, we're a domestic sport. Flag allows us the international reach. It's affordable, it's accessible, and it's all inclusive. You don't have to have a special field. You don't have special equipment. It's affordable. And that Olympic arc is like, wow. And then when you introduce that to the players, that I can actually rep my team. Hey, is one thing to come from, hey, the state of New Jersey, the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Hey, to play ball in Madison, Wisconsin, to go on and play professional ball. But then to say, hey, I have an opportunity. I made the Team USA. Like, I think every athlete dreams about that and some kind of to be part of that athletic resume. And again, where do 80% of your Olympians come from? The college institutions, such as Nebraska. So when you lead, Nebraska will be fueling when we fit the athletes, not only for the pro league, but potentially not just representing Team USA, but their countries due to the international basis on campus.
And when you have the NFL backing it the way that it is, you know, eventually in pro leagues, you have the support of networks and things like that. And you get some of these games on television, and that continues to grow the sport. Commissioner Goodell, you work with him closely, and what's his thoughts on the growth of the game, and especially at the youth level, but specifically now, what this announcement with flag football here at Nebraska?
Well, it's his leadership. You know, myself, I'm able to charge, be a voice, be one of many faces, but it's a league priority. We look at our international play, obviously our competitive play here, and then how do we grow internationally? How do we grow the game, not just professional football, but how do we grow the game of football? And Commissioner has been 100% supportive of people, of drawing awareness and leveraging our partners, our media partners, the clubs. So he's been all in, and collectively, and this is why this discussion today is so important, because collectively we win. Collectively, the game of football wins. And you need institutions like the NFL, institutions such as Nebraska, and the more the merrier to present these opportunities and access for young ladies to display their elite talent.
You know, I'm interested too, because you get a lot of viewership numbers and things. How have you seen the demographics of those that watch the NFL on a Sunday or a Monday night widen with more women watching? We know there's you know, women on coaching staffs and in the front office, and that's growing. But the overall audience now for the National Football League and the amount of women you see come through the turnstiles for games on Sundays, but also that you see are watching football now and really all in.
Well, I think anyone's looking at the demographics. It's around the world. We're skewing. It's on that younger, that 14 to 25, 25 to that 35 age limit. And I would just say this, a great example, our flag championships in Canton, Ohio, the last 2 years, the viewership has been led by the young ladies, that U14, U13, U14. It's not the boys. The boys they're getting a lot of attention, but nothing like what the young ladies are doing, so that we get a chance to scale. And there's always been decades and decades about, hey, who makes a decision in the household with children? It's the mom. Guess what? Now moms and daughters and nieces and granddaughters, they have an opportunity to participate, to coach, to play. This whole ecosystem is now, you know, you open up and create all of these career paths, not just participation, coaches, trainers, data science, engineers, all of these things, performance coaches, all the whole ecosystem opens up for this demographic.
we're closing in on the 2028 Olympics in LA, and just how many have you had players come up to you and say, hey, you know, I want to get in on the men's side for flag football? What are some of the conversations with the players and their eagerness to maybe be a part of it?
So there is a lot of eagerness, and the talk is, okay, what are the rules, and does my body type or play type, where do I go to compete? You know, that, you know, through USA Football, you know, that's our governing body through this process. And when we talk about the ownership, the membership has said, okay, the players will be protected as they try out. They got to try out to make the team. The interest is there because of the global reach. You know, the student athlete today, everything's about his brand or her brand and how many people likes and how many people going to share. This is an opportunity to be on the global stage, not just here domestically or in your little home market. Is a lot of interest, not only from our professionals. I've had some legends reach out, just some recently retired players like, yo, man, I think I still can do this. You know, what's the process? And then I also, on the high school side, you get a lot of young athletes that are saying, hey, I've been playing 7-on-7 all my life. I got a chance to rep my country and represent my country. So there's been a ton of interest.
Yeah, it's I can only imagine what the interest is. And, you know, let's finish up with this. But the overall health of the game right now, the way that the NFL is really doubled down on health and safety of the game, overall, I'll use the word health. Where do you feel the health of the game is right now moving forward?
Different game. We're not where I don't think we're ever would be where we want to be. You know, it's a contact sport. And there are inherent risks that's associated with the sport. But I do believe with our health and safety committee led by Dr. Alan Sills and Jeff Miller and Dawn Aponte, over the years, I think with learning, with science, now having data, science, and video, there's some predictive learning that we can do. How do we protect players from unnecessary risk? And I think that's the charge, not only for the National Football League, Troy and his leadership at Nebraska, how do we protect the student athletes at Nebraska, athletes abroad here at all the institutions from unnecessary risk? Equipment is better. Helmet is better. Our return to play policies and practices are better. You know, we there's just better equipment. The way we assess and how we can predict certain things, we've made a lot of progress, still got a long way to go. You know, we got some things that we need to address. Hey, you got to wear your uniform. You got to wear your uniform properly. It's important that you keep your knee pads and your thigh boards, wear proper fitting shoulder pads, proper fitting shoes. So we've come a long way from protecting players from unnecessary risk, and we still got some ways to go.
I don't think people fully understand the data that the NFL has compiled on injuries and injury risk has changed the college preseason, you know, and how we ramp up and what those early days are. How we train, how many hours are devoted to this, to that. It isn't a matter of just the acclimatization period. You can't put pads on for so long. But how many hours do we use in those first weeks? All that data has come from the NFL. And so there's so much benefit to what they do from a health and safety standpoint that trickles to us. You know, I think most NFL or most NCAA teams will tell you they're much healthier in the preseason now when the season starts, because we have changed how we acclimatize in those early weeks.
Yeah, you forget about all the sports science that goes behind this and the amount of information that is compiled with the NFL and then trickles down to the different levels. Troy Vincent Sr., NFL's Executive VP of Football Operations, chatting with us. Thanks so much for the time. This is a landmark announcement, and of course, Troy Dannon and his administration, their work to make women's flag football varsity sport here at the Power Four level and continue opportunities for women, not just in sports, but in football. So, Troy, thanks so much for the time, and we really appreciate it.
No, thank you. And Troy, thank you for you and your team's leadership. It means a lot to the sport of football. And we just thank you for your leadership and what you're doing, providing these wonderful opportunities for the young ladies at this elite level. So thank you.
Now, I appreciate you so much, Troy. And you know, the NFL is going to empower and enable a lot of institutions to do what Nebraska just did, because of all the work that's been done for us to start a sport, all the work that we would have had to have done. That's what the NFL's been doing for years. So really the table is set. It's fun that we get to be at the first one to sit at the table, but the table is set for others to come on board. And I think, you know, we're going to see, I think we're already seeing maybe at the middle school level in Omaha, some female flag football interest. I think 38 states, Troy, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it's 32, but 38 states moving that way with our high school sports. So we're good. We're glad to jump on the bandwagon, but really appreciate the support of the NFL in getting this kicked off.
It's going to be a snowball effect for sure, yeah. With Nebraska hopping into this field with women's flag football. So Troy Vincent, thanks so much for joining us, and really appreciate your time. We know you're busy, so thanks so much. Yeah.
Thank you all. Yeah. Appreciate you.
That's Troy Vincent Sr. here on the Nebraska AD Show. We continue with more right after this. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Troy Dannon with us on Nebraska's AD Show. Appreciate Troy Vincent Sr., NFL Executive VP of Football Ops, for joining us, talking all things flag football as well. All right, Troy, we did get a spring game date from Matt Rhule when he came in last week, March 28th, a little bit of an earlier spring, but we got a pretty good men's basketball team as well. And if you look on Twitter, you got the Elite Eight, you got the spring game clashing together. So your thoughts there?
Yeah, first world problems,
yes.
To be sure. You know, we won't know if there's a potential Elite Eight game on day of the spring until selection day. We'll know how it plays out. Excuse me, but even if there's a game on that day, you know, we know those Elite Eight games are late afternoon and evening. So the one thing we can't have is any conflict, and there's also events going on campus that day. So I would anticipate, at the very least, it'll be an 11 a.m. type kick for the spring game. So there's definitely no overlap along with any Elite Eight game. Whether or not the spring game actually has to move off of that date. We do know there is some absoluteness, though. We know those games are going to be late afternoon and evening. And we also have softball, baseball that day. I think softball may be UCLA, which is the big one of the baseball has a big, I think it's Indiana. Big series that I also would like to avoid conflicting with games. And if you could play at 11 a.m. and let everybody get out and watch softball and baseball and then get home and watch the Huskers fight to get into the Final Four, that would be an ideal situation for all of us.
Yeah, it's first world problems, but out there, if you're worried, that they are aware of the possible collision on those dates. Yeah. Men's hoops, wow, that's where I'll start. How fun has this been for you just to watch?
Yeah, it's, exceedingly fun. But, it's so many people have high regard for Fred. And I think everybody I talk to, amazing. I'm so happy for Fred. Amazing. I think Fred's a hell of a coach. And people are quick to throw dirt on coaches sometimes when things don't go as they expect them to go, with the immediacy that they expected. But Fred's a great example for everyone in this business in college athletics that when you have good people who happen to be good coaches, and you need to give them time to figure out what works. And Fred figured that out. The last 3 years, we're headed toward a third consecutive 20-win season. I think the crown last year, I was probably the most hesitant person on whether we should even play in the crown. Fred was just absolute that we need to do this. And I think the benefits of that tournament last year are still being felt today. I talked to Fox Sports, who puts the crown on, talked to them in Miami, I said, man, thanks for that tournament, because, it taught us to play in a championship environment, win or go home. And that success we had has carried over mentally. Cale Jacobson, went from who is Cale Jacobson to really probably our MVP of that tournament last year. And now, I think I saw a stat, if he plays 10 minutes a game, we haven't lost. So, of course, we haven't lost if he plays 1 minute a game this year either. But when Cale's on the floor. But, again, he came forward last year in that crown. So that was a a real turning point, I think, for what's happening this year.
Yeah, there's no substitute for playing games and getting momentum, and it seems like it certainly has done that. Enhance your grilling game with a Nebraska-made grill from M Grills. Wood pellet and charcoal grills made to last with Nebraska values. Check them out at mgrills.com, a proud supporter of Husker Athletics. Final segment with Troy Denon. That is next. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Nebraska AD show here tonight with Troy Denon. We also appreciate Troy Vincent Sr. for joining us on the show. We do know this, the Big Ten football schedule will come out next week, so we'll know specific times and dates. We know who the Huskers will be playing next year, but we'll have the times and dates next week. Troy, I did want to mention this. Jim Hartung passing away last week, and for him, he's a legend of gymnastics around here, and of course, incredibly sad news for the program and for everybody who loves that sport. Two-time U.S. Olympian, an Olympic gold medalist, and an All-American, and a sad loss for the Huskers.
Yeah, and I got here and I was going around and meeting everybody, and I got the chance to meet Jim. I was kind of like, I know you. I watched you. You know, when the Olympic Games were the sports that we got, that's all we got to see of sports, like when I was growing up and watching him. And, you know, he battled through throat cancer, you know, and but he was still coaching. The athletes loved him. And to your point, you know, if there's a Mount Rushmore of athletes here who've had the greatest impact in their sports, you know, Jim's on it. Jim's George Washington on it for men's gymnastics. So great loss, tough. You know, we happen to have an event at our house with some of the student athletes, and the gymnast. You know, when you lose a coach in the middle, and I've never been a part of a program that loses a coach in the middle of the season. You know, those coaches become your father, your mentor, your leader, your guide, and you know, it's hard on the athletes as well. But you know. Part of the life lessons for those athletes, though, is, you know, you overcome those things that happen. You know, condolences to Jim and his family and everybody who was a part of that gymnastics program and the relationships he built here. Just a great, great man. You know, I think the gymnasts, you know, will honor him in every way they can as they compete through the rest of the season. And our thoughts are going to be with Jim all through.
Yeah, heavy hearts with Husker Nation for sure. And other sports going on as well. Wrestling, I've been told the Iowa experience when Iowa comes here for wrestling is one of the best atmospheres. So I might check that out on Friday. But big weekend for wrestling coming up. Track and field, we had Coach St. Clair in here last week to talk about the upcoming season. Women's gymnastics, busy time of year.
It is. It's a busy time of year, but a lot of high expectations. You know, wrestling is you know, they got out of the gates, had some injuries, and it was a little slower, but they're wrestling really well. This is a big weekend because Ohio State coming in, I think ranked number two, coming in on Sunday. So big, big home wrestling weekend. I think we passed Iowa as a program last year, you know, but we didn't beat them in the duel. So I think this is big for everyone associated with the wrestling program. But, you know, I think we saw softball come out ranked ninth in the preseason, be it baseball, two-time defending conference champion. A lot to look forward to. That's the neat thing in Nebraska. There's always great things to look forward to. You know, we have some elite athletes in track and field. You know, indoor championships coming up in about 6-7 weeks, which is not that far away. It's hard to believe the Diamond Sports are going to be playing here outdoors. And we've been fairly fortunate in the weather. I'm not sure about this weekend, but fairly fortunate in the weather. They've gotten to go outdoors. So, yeah, it's good times. And you know, we talk a lot about men's basketball, but you know, the women's basketball team, I think from a net standpoint, 18. They've the Big Ten is a ridiculously rugged women's basketball league, but you know, they're still fighting to host, you know, the top 16 host, top 16 seeds, and so, you know, there's some games ahead for them that, get on a streak, and you know, we have the potential of hosting that opening weekend at PBA with the women. So a lot to keep our focus and attention on.
Yeah, a lot of great stuff. Troy, thanks so much for coming in. We covered a lot of topics, which we usually do. This is one of the highlights of my month when I get a chance to chat with you.
Well, you need to find more to do every month, but I appreciate you. Thanks.
So a lot coming up here on the network. We'll have women's basketball, men's basketball as they continue their season, softball, baseball, all that coming up on the Huskers Radio Network. Big thanks to Troy Dannon, of course, for joining us for the hour in studio. Troy Vincent, Sr., NFL Executive VP of Football Operations. This has been the Nebraska AD Show.